in, it's whitenoiseubc@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at whitenoiseubc. But without further ado, I think it's time for White Noise.
The following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight I bring you another action-packed half hour of radio from right here in the heart of Vancouver, BC. This show is brought to you in part by Lionel's Criminal Defence Law Firm. You might be guilty, but we've done much worse. First up tonight is a British nature documentary focusing on the ever-growing urban wilderness. Good evening, and welcome to Urban Wilderness. I'm Sir David Squattenborough. And tonight, we track the movements of the majestic urban cougar. I'm currently sitting in my carefully chosen viewing spot, the VIP booth of my local nightclub. Ah, I think I see one now. Yes, there is one approaching my hiding spot. You can spot her by her distinct camouflage of leopard skin and copious amounts of face paint. Her claws are distinctly long and painted an unflattering acid green. She prowls across the open landscape atop of 4-inch heels designed to lengthen her meaty cankles. She is alert and hungry, a side effect of her heavy consumption of leafy greens and diet pills. She appears to have spotted a potential group of prey, a troop of urban gorillas. Or in Latin, Nuculus stragulus. The urban gorilla has equally distinct characteristics. Its back is broad, its brain is little used, and its collar is popped. She doesn't attack right away. She is attempting to spot the weakest of the group that can be easily separated from the pack. A few of them appear to be swaying. They may be defenseless to the cougar's moves, which have been perfected over decades of clubbing. You do have to wonder why, though, she hasn't found greener pastures. Maybe she's really annoying. Oh, one gorilla has begun a tribal dance. He's shouting what appears to sound like, "So much mass, brah!" And the other responds, "Yeah, brah!" Such a beautiful language. The gorilla troop begins to migrate across the dance floor. However, one is left face down on the table. She begins to canter towards him, but disaster strikes as one of her heels snaps. She spills forward. Gold jewelry is everywhere. The gorilla perks up. He senses the danger, and away he goes, running for his life. Good lad. He shall survive another day. The cougar lets out a roar of frustration and limps away defeated. I'm Sir David Squattenborough. Join us again for more Urban Wilderness. Thank you, Sir David Squattenborough. A knighthood well deserved. Next up is a couple having it out in New York Theatre's piece, It's Not a Laughing Matter.
Hi, darling.
Don't hi, darling, me.
Pardon?
Where have you been?
Just out of friends.
Don't lie to me. I know what you've been doing.
I've been just hanging out with friends.
You're at it again, aren't you?
I don't know what you mean.
You've been juggling.
How did you know?
You're still wearing your clown shoes.
I'm so sorry.
You promised you were going to give it up when Aaron was born.
I know. I can't resist the temptation.
It nearly killed you, Mike.
I know.
Oh, you already lost 2 brothers to fire eating. Think about your poor mother.
I'm sick, Brittany. It's genetic. I have clown compulsion disorder. My family tree is full of men who entertain themselves to death. consumed by their obsession with reaching perfection in their art.
I know, but I can't go through this again. It's too hard to watch.
But I can cope, Brittany. I'm not like your father.
How dare you? He was a ventriloquist. Of course he was suicidal. The only popular ones are the ones with the racist puppets.
Exactly. I'm not going to end up like that. I've got a sponsor, Barry. He's helping me.
I don't trust him. I heard he used to give handjobs for silly string behind the 7-Eleven.
That's all in the past. He just got his 5-year chip.
Fine. All right. Let's try and make this work. But if we are going to have any real chance, we both need to be honest about everything.
I quite agree.
Then listen. I have a confession to make.
Okay. Go on, you can tell me anything.
I'm an addict, too.
Oh, my. What is it, magic? Unicycles? It's not balloon animals.
No. It's mime.
Mime?
Yes.
No. Say it isn't so anything but that.
I'm sorry, Mike. It was that summer in Paris, and I met this guy, Jacques, and things just got out of hand.
Brittany, I can't go down that path. I will not watch you silently fall apart. Then you'll do it again and again as you practice mime endlessly.
Oh, Mike, no more arguing. Just kiss me, you fool.
Sorry, I should have taken my nose off.
Wow, powerful themes, profound acting. Another classic off-Broadway piece there. Next up tonight, we delve into the mindset of vices, the fruits of a man left to his own devices.
Good evening, and welcome to Debate Squad. I'm Matthew Tagger, and tonight I present to you a discussion on vices. Should we have them? Are they inevitable? Which is the most fun? To digest this matter with me are four guests: Lila Rain, self-confessed cannabis connoisseur.
Hi, guys.
Porn addict Anthony Raw.
Oh, my God. Real women. Hi.
Social drinker Kurt Cutoff.
Hi, guys. Does anyone fancy a quick drink after?
And born-again Christian Tammy Gutted Two Shoe.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Matthew, what a good Christian name you have.
Thank you. And welcome to you all. Let me begin by asking, are vices part of being human in the 20th century?
Definitely not. Vices are unnatural and drain you of your soul. You should all be ashamed.
Ma'am, why do you think you're here?
As opposition to you vice-obsessed heretics.
No, you're representing your religious vice.
It is not a vice.
Does it take up a lot of your time?
Yes.
Even when you're not doing it, are you thinking about it?
I guess.
Has it driven friends away and killed relationships?
I had to let some people go, for sure.
Do you find you lose a substantial part of your income to it?
Donations and charity are an important part of church life.
And do you shape your life around it?
Of course.
Vice.
Okay. At least mine isn't killing me.
Me neither. Mine's just making me a bit tender.
No one is yet to answer my question except Tammy. Are vices a natural, unavoidable condition of being human?
I think so. We all need a release and a comfort to keep us sane. No matter how fulfilled we attempt to be, vices will always pop up.
No, I think people can change. I used to have a problem with cigarettes, but I just redirected my energy into more natural bodily pleasures.
Weed is natural.
Smoking leaves is not natural.
I use a vaporizer. No carcinogenics.
Really? How does that work?
It just heats up to a temperature that allows the THC to vaporize into the air. Then you inhale it.
Might have to switch sides there, Matthew.
We're not here to decide who's got the best addiction, Kurt. We're trying to evaluate vices as a whole concept.
But that's absurd. There are very different pros and cons to each.
Can't you try and be a bit more meta? I thought you were meant to be the stoned one.
Let me try. So perhaps vices are like this animalistic part of us that needs a baseline, instinctive drive to make us go each day. And now that we live in a world where hunger, thirst, and comfort are so easily satisfied, our minds crave a new hunger to drive them.
Mr. Busy Hands is right. I'm so bored if I'm not drinking. Sociably.
People need structure. Vices give you structure.
Do you guys want to know what I think? Well, it's my show, so be quiet. I think you all need to learn a bit of moderation. It's fine to indulge, you know, try it all. Except the really crazy stuff, meth, crack, rosebudding. None of those are worth it. But experience the other fruits of life.
So what's your vice?
Mine? I don't have one. I'm completely normal and balanced.
Sure, and I only drink socially.
Come on, Matthew. Spill the beans. What's your deal?
Fine. My vice is... This is so hard.
No one will judge you here.
I will.
Come on, Matt.
Okay. I've never told anyone this. My vice is conducting pointless philosophical discussions with unqualified panelists. Well, feels so good to finally let it out.
Excellent banter from the debate squad there. And that piece was brought to you in part by Eddie's Eggs. They're basically chicken periods, but they're delicious. Next up tonight is more theatre as we go to Toronto for an excerpt from the hit play Me, My Dad and the Man He Hates.
Now you just stay still there, Grandad, and I will get you your magazine.
Get me both of them.
Okay, it's Home and Garden and...
Hustler. And get me my glasses.
Do you want a drink?
Just a cup of tea. With a drop of absinthe. You know, like Grandma used to make.
Anything for you, Grandad.
Honey?
Yes, dear?
Something really weird just happened.
What's that, dear? Did you catch David messing with the neighbor's dog again?
No. He's at work at the kennels all day. So I was in the bathroom, and... I sort of died.
You died?
Well, I think so. I crapped myself, and I hear that's a thing that happens when you die.
Happens to me all the time, and I'm not dead.
Did anything else happen?
I fell over, and there was this bright light. But that turned out to be because I was lying face down on my phone. And then everything went black.
But hang on. If you're dead, how could you be talking to me?
I don't know. Maybe you're dead too.
No, I would have noticed. I'm very observant.
It's true.
Are you expecting anyone?
No.
Might be my dealer. He said he would pop round.
Your dealer?
Yeah, you know, he sells antiques, collectibles, weed. He does all sorts. He's a very enterprising young boy.
Hello?
Good evening.
Who are you, sorry?
I'm Death. Here for a pickup.
Oh, you've come for me. See, I told you, Jane. When I'm right, I'm right.
Oh, Howard, you can't go. I just made dinner. Do you want to come in for some supper, Death?
No, thanks. Just had a curry. But besides that, I'm not here for him.
Oh my god, so I did die. I'm always doing that, totally missing what's going on.
No, you're fine, clearly. Neither of you are dead. Howard, you didn't die in the bathroom. You got a head brush and inexplicably shit yourself. I'm here. Surprise, surprise, for the 90-year-old stoner sitting behind you.
Oh, not Grandad. You can't take him. Who's going to keep me company all day? Who's going to listen to my worries? How am I going to live without access to disabled parking?
Don't worry, darling. He's not taking me anywhere.
What gives you that impression, old man?
Because I don't believe in you. You're a silly myth. Told to kids to explain their own mortality.
Myths are born out of legends which are carved from truth. I am that truth.
Bollocks. You're a yob in a hoodie that's too big for you. Go away.
Why does your grandfather talk in a British accent?
Oh, because of the war.
He spent a lot of time in Britain, did he?
No, he just got hit in the head and he spoke like that ever since.
I'll get it. Hello?
Hi, I'm here to collect your wife's granddad. He's dead.
Oh, right. Come in.
Oh, hello, everyone. All right, Death.
Oh, not you again.
Now that's more like it. About time. It's the flying spaghetti monster. See you guys later. I'm clearly dead.
Thank you, Toronto. And praise be to the flying spaghetti monster. May he bring joy to each and every one of your lives. Next up tonight is an interview from death metal journalist Bat Morris.
Welcome once again to Metal Maniacs. I'm your host, Bat Morris. And today, I have the honour and privilege to be here with the amazingly talented Aldrich Nutt, lead singer of the revolutionary up-and-coming Norwegian death metal band Decapitated Lobotomy of your wife's church. I guess we could get into the swing of calling it DLWC or something. What do you think about that brief there, Aldrich?
No, you fool.
Oh, you're not a fan of that, are we?
No. And you say my name wrong, little man.
Oh, whoopsie me. So sorry. It isn't pronounced Aldrich.
No, it is Aldrich. Last name is not Nut, it's Newt. You Americans say all your words like you invented them yourself. Stupid, ignorant people who molest everyone who enters your country on a plane.
All right, A, I'm English. And B, most of us don't like the TSA either.
Well, I still think you guys suck.
Are you worried comments like that will affect your upcoming North American tour?
True fans of Decapitated Lobotomy of your wives, church, will not care what I say here on this imbecilic show.
No need to be rude about the show, Aldrich.
It is Aldrich, you ignorant scum.
All right, place it down. My God, you are tall. Were you born at Chernobyl or something?
I am the runt of my litter, a puny 6'9". That is why I wear the platform shoes.
Aldrich, can you please tell some of our listeners what they can expect from your upcoming concerts across the United States?
It is going to be the most spectacular show since 9/11. We have holograms, pyrotechnics, technical pirates, goat slings, and all of your favorite songs, including Burn the Sweaty Children.
I believe that song tackles your struggles as a fairly rotund
youngster. Do not interrupt me, tiny human. Each performance, the bandmates and I will ask a few consenting audience members to come on stage and defecate. Whoever's turd is largest gets to come backstage for juice boxes. And the smallest turd owner becomes our human sacrifice.
Wow, that is pretty HXC.
What is this HXC?
It means hardcore.
No, there is no penetration involved. I don't know where you got that from.
My mistake, clearly. Now, can you tell me about some of the jewellery you have on? I've never seen anything like them. Your bracelets and your necklace, are those animal bones?
This one right here, the first on my left arm is, yes. It was my first dog. He died when I was 10 years old, and I recently dug him up to add to my collection.
So do you craft the jewelry yourself, or do you have a professional freak do it?
I do it myself, of course.
You might have a second career there. If you can make all of them, you could be recycling other people's pets as necklaces.
It's not just pets. This one is our old bass player's jawbone.
Oh. I,
Don't be upset. He was a bore. Never liked it when we would go out and burn the churches. Said we were missing the point. We just called him Lady Bassman. Although I do regret the end. We text him about going purging, and he replies about some excuse that he has to look after his grandma. So we go to his house to confront him. Next thing I know, I'm picking his flesh out of my teeth.
Wow. I guess you were just more hungry than he was.
How dare you insult me, Bat Morris. Now I will show you what a real demon can do.
Oh, you're a demon, I see.
Yeah.
Wait, no, for the love of Christ!
Hail Satan.
Hail, Aldrich. I say, what a showman. That's what today's fans are missing. No one is biting heads off bats anymore. Where's the passion gone? Next up tonight is our sporting segment, this week featuring the CEO World Championships, where top business professionals represent themselves and their country to see who is really the top dog.
Welcome to the CEO World Championships, where the top CEOs of the world battle for the title of CEO Supremacy. I'm joined by co-commentator and former Big Oil, Big Pharma, and Big Panties Manufacturing CEO, Charles Tightfist.
Afternoon, Paula, and welcome to those listening around the globe. We have a star-studded, action-packed day for you, featuring bonus negotiations, private jet races, and dodging sexual harassment suits. I cannot wait for the proceedings to get underway.
First up today is the strength competition. It is, of course, the union-crushing event.
The USA representative, Brian Loaded, looked very impressive in the qualifying heats.
Definitely. His non-negotiation strategy put a kibosh on attempts for fair pay.
Let's hope his opponents in this round aren't feeling quite as generous as the Swedes were in the qualifying.
You can take a Swede out of Sweden, but he will still believe socialism is a rational solution.
Well, whoever heard of a successful Swedish company?
IKEA.
Oh, yeah.
The competitors are making their way onto the field. Oh, except the UK representative, Lord Tickley, is absent. He appears to have sent armed riot guards in his place.
The union workers at the other end of the field are looking apprehensive.
The whistle goes. They've begun. The riot guards move in quickly, batons raised. The German competitor, Hans Bigshot, is giving instructions to a group of young men. Oh, the men charge over to the union workers and begin fighting amongst themselves. A journalist has appeared out of nowhere and he's filming the unrest and... Germany have won it! The journalist has convinced the viewing public that the violence is due to unionization and it's crushed!
Wow. Superb. I couldn't have done it better myself.
Next up is the private jet races. Brian Loaded and China's own Li Cho are expected to be frontrunners here. The USA green-carded all their pilots in a blatant attempt to win here, but this is the CEO World Championship, so cheating is expected.
It's not cheating. It's free market ethics.
Sure. So, they are lined up for the start of the race. And they're off.
Oh, no. China has stalled on the start line.
I'm getting word that his tray isn't in the upright position. He's having trouble with the lock.
The USA appears to be done with their safety demonstration. They are beginning to move, but the Canadian is edging them out in a surprise turn of events.
Oh, no! Canada has crashed on the runway! Apparently, the CEO, Jane Coulthard, was on her cell phone during takeoff, causing the plane to explode into a ball of fiery death.
An early bath for the Canadian.
With Coulthard out, the USA jet soars across the finish line, unimpeded, and now sits firmly atop the leaderboard.
Well, still plenty of points to play for.
Too true. And starting shortly is my favorite event, the taking credit for something you didn't do event.
This event takes huge nerves and a huge ego to win.
Coulthard is another frontrunner in this one, but Loaded and Cho have been known to pull a fast one on many unsuspecting subordinates.
This event is all about conviction and salesmanship. If you believe it's true, you can sell anything to anyone.
Coulthard up first. She's talking quick. Her subordinate is nodding along. This could be a quick finish. And yes, she's done it. She just took credit for last quarter's profits. Well done, Jane. Next up is Li Cho. He's got a tough score to beat.
Absolutely. But if he chooses a more direct approach, he might be able to beat that pacey time.
Cho begins. And straight in with the shouting. He's thrown a chair, and now he's screaming at her. He's right in her face, phlegm flying everywhere, and that's time! That might be a new world record, possibly two! The second being for most expletives in a regulation match. Wow, but it worked, and Cho gets the credit for the redesigned accounting spreadsheets.
As he should. He must have been the inspiration.
My. Let's go over now to the dodging sexual harassment lawsuit competition. The French are renowned for winning this competition year after year. However, they are currently serving a 3-year ban after their competitor last year felt up one of the judges.
It really put a black mark on the reputation of this event.
The judge in question, Richard Branson, has been on a sabbatical ever since.
Well, with a company name like Virgin, what does he expect?
What? So just because a man has a seductive company name, he's open to being objectified by other men?
Touché.
Thank you. So, it's Brian Loader of the USA and Lord Tickley of the UK in this final. Who's going home with the gold, Charles?
It's in a man's game here. This is a game of agility and malleability. Whoever can shapeshift can win the precious points.
Okay, here we go. And they're off. Lord Tickley has an inappropriate glance coming straight for him, but he sidesteps it by faking a heart attack. Loader has to look out. An inappropriate email forward is about to bring his whole career down, but he leaps over it with a lie about being hacked. Tickley is now facing an allegation of lurid phone call harassment. Oh, but he hoodwinks it with the fake alibi. Sensational. Tickley is home free, and he's high-fiving spectators along the way to the finish line, and oh, no, he's disqualified. He just followed through on a high five and spanked a woman in the crowd. Oh, what was he thinking?
I think that was a case of muscle memory, Paula. Nothing he could do.
Oh, well, this one horse race is now a formality. Brian Loader crosses the finish line and is presented with his prize, a year's lease on his very own Bangladesh sweatshop. Join us again for more CEO World Championships.
Thank you, Paula and Charles. What a mind-blowing competition that is. It must take years of hard work to become that repulsive. That piece was brought to you in part by the Lottery Association, giving poor people's money to other poor people since 1965. That's the end of the show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talents of John Greenway, Mariana Mate, Connor Nishelput, Sierra Wiley, Victoria Bass, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
Bonjour, mon nom est Marc Gourmeta here in Burnaby, BC. Over the next few days, myself as well as other colleagues from around the province will be shining the spotlight on the West Coast's Francophone and Francophile community. This is our very own way to celebrate les rendez-vous de la francophonie. Le saviez-vous? Le Conseil scolaire francophone, along with a strong group of parents, are currently fighting for equitable treatment with regard to French language education in BC, which is considered as one of the most important legal cases in the country on this issue. Here is Claire Beausavi, one of several parents for whom the subject truly matters.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Claire Beausavi. Je suis enseignante à l'université Simon Fraser dans le département de français. Et j'ai aussi deux jeunes enfants, donc de 6 ans et 3 ans. So, unfortunately, my son, who is now 6, is not in a CSF school because there are none of them in around where we live. We live in Burnaby, and Burnaby does not have a Francophone school. It's about almost an hour away by bus, so I decided to put him in Anglophone school where we live. But there is quite a big population of Francophones around Burnaby that would justify the creation of a new school. I've been helping the CSF in their search of a new school in Burnaby in the past few years, and I'm hoping that we'll get one soon enough. The CSF has been having a lot of difficulties regarding their buildings and also their current schools. Most of them are crowded. So the CSF is now in court asking the government to found new schools. So my wish is for the CSF to get what they're asking from the government and get the funding that they need to create the few new schools that they are asking for and to make the ones they already have, put them in a better shape.
Join us for Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, March 6th to 22nd. For more information, visit rvf.ca.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm Simon Welton. This is the White Noise After Show. Today I'm joined by actually three of our actors from the show. I'm joined by Victoria. Say hello, Victoria.
Hello, Victoria.
We've got Connor.
Hello.
And we've got Sierra.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, so they're all actors on the show. We're going to have a little chat here. You guys can send in your questions if you have any questions for us about what you just listened to, any questions personal, whatever you like. Send them in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com or you can tweet us at whitenoiseubc. All right, we're going to play some music and we'll be right back. So on the music train, we're going to play Brave Shores and this is Surf's Up.
Jihad for Love, Whitewater Black Gold, A Red Girl's Guide to Reasoning, East Hastings Pharmacy, Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry, Misrepresentation.
Cinema Politica UBC screens politically charged films with speakers and discussions every month. Screenings take place at the Norm Theater in the Sub and are by donation. To learn more, visit cinemapolitica.org/UBC.
Alright guys, here you're listening to White Noise After Show. I'm joined in the studio by Victoria, Connor and Sierra. We're going to get to know the actors on the show today. I thought that would be a bit of fun. So first we're going to start with Victoria. Say hello, Victoria.
Hi.
So tell everybody, where are you from, where you been, why are you in Vancouver?
I'm originally from Brandon, Manitoba, which is the second largest city in Manitoba at a whopping approximately 45,000 people.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound actually like a big accomplishment.
Right. Well, you know, it kind of is. I like to describe it as the last Walmart for miles. So it's got that claim to fame. Yeah.
Do they put that on the sign as you drive in? Is
no,
it?
No, but they have a sign when you drive in that says, "This is the last McDonald's until Regina," which is like 5 hours from here. So if you want a Big Mac, better get it now.
Oh, like 10th road.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, because it's nothing but net in the...
So I don't have to guess why you left there.
Yeah, to... It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, could be any reason, really.
I hate my family. They're lovely people.
Okay, so I thought it'd be funny to play that silly game that you play at stupid work functions and things, where we ask you to tell us two true things and one thing that's false, and then we have to use our best judgment to guess which one is rubbish.
Mm.
So what are your three?
Well, I feel like a bad one to start with would be that I'm a pathological liar. To sort of negate that. That made the game very kind of a mind fuck a little bit, so...
Just a touch.
Anyway, okay. Well, all right, so I've got three here. Are you ready?
Okay.
That's a little big.
Yeah. Okay, number one. I once wet my pants while on a roof. Number two, I once had someone say to me during sex, "Oh, play me like a cello, baby." And three.
Which is funny if you know she went to Juilliard for music. Specifically the cello. Carry on.
Number three, I once was asked for my autograph by someone who had mistaken me for Drew Barrymore. Which is pretty cool.
Hmm. What do you guys think?
There's a lot of just quiet contemplation.
Yeah,
I'm going to say...
It feels very plausible.
I feel like I need a time age range for the wetting yourself on a roof.
Three.
You see, I think that's plausible that you've wet yourself on a roof. Not a personal slight there.
Kind of
I just think that could happen. That's... I don't know. I don't think the Drew Barrymore one's right one. I don't know.
Apparently, I've read this on the internet, so the degree of which it could be true is frighteningly bad. But apparently, a trait shared by many serial killers is that they continue to wet the bed after they're 12 years old.
Yeah, that's because of the...
Interesting bullshit fact.
That's because it only correlates with the fact they've had tons of child abuse to go with it, which is causing the actual serial killing.
That's not very plausible.
Funny enough, my bed was on the roof at the time when this
and
occurred.
There's a bunch of bodies behind you, so...
Okay, so the bed wetting's true? Is that what you're saying?
I did wet my pants on a roof.
Oh, you wet your pants on a roof?
Yeah, and I was about 14.
Nice.
I was way too old for that to be real.
The guys at Juilliard must have taken cello way too seriously for that to ever happen.
Oh, yeah. So that was that one true then, too, was it?
Well, I don't know. You guys
told me. Yeah, we can guess. I'm going to go and say that the Drew Barrymore one's a bit fake. I think the cello one...
The cello one just makes too much sense. That's the thing.
I want it to be true.
That's true. I do want it to be true.
Do you want the cello one to be true?
It just sounds, like, crazy and, like, emotional, and I almost wish I was there, but I really don't.
I'm sorry.
Sierra is Connor's girlfriend, and she wasn't that impressed with him wanting to be there for that, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
so
we could both be there. It'd be great.
We're really close.
I thought you guys were just dating. I didn't know you were married. Like, I didn't know you were getting into that. You're not that bored, are you?
The cello one is true, but it actually wasn't. It wasn't when I was in New York. It was the first big party of my undergrad, and it was like a big Halloween-style party. And I remember saying to my roommate at one point, I was like, I should not say this on the radio. My parents could listen to this. The lovely people in Brandon.
Sorry, you already told us you hate them.
Right, yeah, it's done now. They can't listen. I just turned to my roommate, and she was getting ready to kind of leave and go back. And I was like, I'm going to get late tonight, so I'll see you later. And so then I went and found somebody that seemed reasonable to partake in that activity. Yes, to get laid with.
It's impressive. But you see, like, that doesn't happen to guys. Like, guys can't just decide that. Like, it's beyond our control.
It's really the opposite. It's like, if you declare it to be like, that's going to happen, it's almost certainly not going to happen.
Yeah. Or you're going to end up on some sort of registry.
Whereas if a woman decides that, there's sort of just like a scent in the air and all the men...
Fine, fine.
Yes.
It will be. Okay, all right, so...
yeah.
All right, so there we go then. So you don't look like Drew Barrymore. There we go.
Well, actually, no, people tell me that I look like Drew Barrymore. They used to tell me that more often. Maybe as I've gotten older, it's gone away. Or maybe people just don't see Drew Barrymore anymore. Maybe she got older.
People like to tell me that I sound Australian, which is untrue.
Oh.
So I'm just going to relate that back to what you just said. Just because they say it doesn't necessarily mean there's any factuality behind it.
Right, I guess that's true.
Unless you want to look like Drew Barrymore, in which case that'd be a tremendous compliment. I don't know what your feelings are towards her.
She's kind of cute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right.
Look like.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't think it's something you want to strive
for. You
feel
like Simon and look like Zach Galifianakis.
That would be terrible if people came up to me and they were like, Zach Galifianakis, Seth Rogen, can I have your autograph?
I like to think I look more like a Russell Brand who's let himself go.
Come on. I know that's something you'd want to aspire to.
That's very almost sort of Canadian. So I mean, there's sort of that almost sort of, what is it, like, lumbersexual kind of. Like, you got the big beard going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little
so
bit
so
like
Russell Brand lets
who's
himself
moved
go.
To Vancouver, perhaps taking a little bit of leave of some of those.
Lumbersexual is very
things he does.
I've noticed, like, I get weird reactions though. Some people like it, and some girls definitely think I look like the creepiest mother effer ever. But
are we not supposed to say that? Because I definitely dropped that.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm just trying to limit the impact of our obscenities.
It starts and ends about halfway through.
All right.
But I think the worst one though. The best one is the guys that look at me who can't grow a beard, and they just look at me like, I hate you. I hate everything about you. And I'm like, I'm not even trying. This is just how
this is like 2 days old.
This is a week, mate.
It's a curse, I tell you.
All right.
Maybe you could like make a little bit of side money. You could grow beards. Shave them off or like cut them off and stick them on pieces of Velcro and give them to sell them to those guys that can't grow them themselves.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite the same.
I wouldn't want to wear a fake beard.
Especially if it were Velcro, you know?
I could make some pillows. I'd probably make some pretty good cheap pillows.
Oh my god, lumbersexual pillows for girls on Main Street?
There's definitely an Etsy store in that.
Run their fingers through that.
That reminds me, though, because, like, Flight of the Conchords did that. There was one episode where Brett and Jermaine both chasing a girl, and they were taking sort of separate dates with her, and because she likes Brett, because his facial hair, Jermaine, like, puts on a fake beard, and then the date, she's like, is that a fake beard? He's like, yeah. Sometimes I like to just glue a beard on. It'd be the most awkward thing to do in a conversation if someone realizes it.
Women put on eyelashes. Why can't men put on beards?
It's like toupee for your face.
Yeah, it's
these things should be equal.
This is about equality.
That's right.
I feel like beards are a lot more noticeable than like millimeters longer eyelashes.
Then why do you guys care so much? Because more of you put them on.
Well, I don't know why you're looking at me. I don't know about
that. No, I know. This is a horrible generalization.
I've never used false eyelashes because that stuff's weird, man.
No, you women... I'm always amazed by people who put makeup on because you take your eyesight into your own hands quite a lot. Like, there's a lot of sharp things being put in the general direction of your...
I specifically avoid those curling irons because they look like a medieval torture device, but I don't know about other women.
Oh, no, those are great.
Okay.
They're a little
dangerous. Let's move on. Let's stop talking about women's. Yeah.
The white noise makeup hour.
Yeah. The show wants to change a topic.
Okay, Connor. So let's move on to you. So you've got a pretty interesting history. You've not just lived in the same place.
No. I was born in England. My parents are both English. But I've actually with my dad's job, I've lived in Mexico City, just outside Philadelphia in New Jersey, as well as Singapore. And
you've not been shot?
No, not yet. Judging by what comes out of my mouth, it really is a surprise. But, no, it's been a really great experience, and I'm here in Vancouver. I'm really loving it here. Been here 2 years. Hope to be here at least two more to finish my degree. If not, then
that's enough.
I'm considerably wrong.
No, I think 4 years is a good amount of time here. Like, I don't know. I personally felt like moving here, it did make me think, I love Vancouver. It made me think, I like big cities, but there's lots of them. And
made me think of how much I like other places.
Yeah, it just makes me want to go more places.
I mean, for me, it's like, I've lived in Mexico, New Jersey, and Singapore about 5 or 6 years apiece, and actually from experience, I think that's almost about perfect. It gets you to know a place, lets you know a place very well, get acquainted with people, but then before you begin to sort of stagnate and get used to it too much, and you pick up having a new adventure, and so it was never like a choice like that, but I think it's worked out really well, and so I definitely sort of advocate a lifestyle if it's in within reason for people.
Well, I mean, nowadays there is a lot more jobs you can do basically from a laptop, I think that lifestyle is a lot more plausible.
In Peru or wherever.
Totally. So what are your three...
Three tantalizing statements, two of which are true, one of which is a lie. All right, here I go. So I once partook in the consumption of a pair of delicious chocolate breasts.
Okay.
I also once trusted a fart, I believe is the turn of phrase, which led to me more or less defecating diarrhea around the front hall of a house, of which I then had to quite quickly, before then found out, try and mop it up.
Okay, alright, number three.
And number three is I once fell in, you know those sort of fish spas? So you put your feet in this like big water tank, and these tiny little fish sort of nibble at your feet and try to remove all the dead skin or something.
No.
So that, okay, well, here's the thing. Well, these little piranha like baby fish that kind of, like, nibble at the bottom of your feet. Uh-huh. And it actually feels kind of nice, not painful at all. But so I was having this done, and I fell into the tank, and I had a couple fish managed to squirm their way into my underpants.
I'm scared for any of these two.
Okay, well, let's have a thing about it, and we'll play a song, we'll come back and work out what the hell out of those wasn't true.
Let's just cut loose, like the Sex Pistols. One, two, three, four. Even near, do your worst, I can't hear.
In others' eyes, foundry flies. You weren't even sober, reckless alibis.
Your army of none, the ghost for medicine. Oh, have you seen the darkness? Oh, come and meet me now. No matter the report or how it should read, whole is my plea.
Convicted by your songs, loud your empty palms, stooges shaping riddles, names left on the pavement.
Not infected, not neglected, or invested to be bested by some righteous fool.
You tell me who I am now, and in the push and shove you fall down.
Just throw a line into the water, you will find the kind of a man to justify.
Thank you.
for man to justify.
All right, that was Last Stitch on the Left with Not Even Near. That's pretty cool. They're actually out of Winnipeg or South Manitoba or something like that.
Wow.
It's got a slash here, so maybe they're like sort of one of them's from there, one's from the other. But anyway, they're pretty cool. All right, so back to Connor. So did he eat chocolate breasts? Did he poop himself in the hall of a house?
Yep.
Or did he, what was the third one?
Did
fish go up his backside?
Fish bar and then have fish.
Yeah. all right, so what do you think, Sierra?
Now, let me just say, I've been dating you for a year and a half, and never have I heard one of these things,
well,
so I am quite surprised.
It doesn't sound like anything you'd lead with when you're sort of trying to date someone.
We've talked about just about everything.
First time I met you, did you know that I eat chocolate breasts? That's the thing that I like people to know about me.
So, go on, then. What do we think it is?
I think the first one's a lie.
Chocolate breasts.
No chocolate boobies.
Yeah.
I've seen you eat a dick.
I've seen you eat a dick, so the breast. Probably
that
not.
That's a very short story. I was working at this place called Pirate Adventures on Granville Island last summer. It's a fantastic place that runs like family oriented, like
family
oriented. Force Creek, but they also do adult sales. And one morning,
SALES, because they're a pirate ship.
Oh, that pirate ship that is just a ship like with bits stuck on it.
Yeah.
It looks nothing like a pirate ship.
No, it does a bit, but like, yeah. And so they said that this adult sale one evening, and I come into work the next morning, and they're like, oh, look what was left in the tip jar. It was a rainbow cock ring pop. So it's one of those ring balls, you put your finger right and you sort of suck on it like a
awesome.
Bit, like, just really weird. And it was shaped like a penis and it was all rainbow. It was delicious, actually.
And he ate it on the 99.
I was on the bus home and I just had this like phallus in my mouth.
That's
and, like,
amazing.
Looking at it. I'm okay. I'm about to have it, but like...
Hey, you, delicious things can come in strange shapes. That's
like
just...
Chocolate breasts.
Facts of life. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
That's
so,
not a euphemism.
Sierra, we got... Quickly, let's say your three.
Well, which
did
one
we
is
figure
it?
Out which one was a
oh,
lie?
Yeah, which one is it?
Oh,
the chocolate boobs, isn't it?
No, it's not actually. I did that. I never fell into a fish spa thing.
Fair enough.
So, the chocolate boobs were delicious. It was in Prague, if that adds any mystique to the story.
Definitely.
All right, Gautier, what's your... We are running out of time, so we're going to cut to... What's your three?
All right. One, I once got drunk with a bunch of 16-year-old Germans and went to an 18 and under club in Munich. When upset, I lapse into a very strong, atrocious Quebecois accent. And I've been deported from the US of A.
Wow, they could all be very true. Nice job. They could all be very true. I know. All right, what do you think, guys?
I might know some of these. I'm going to let you guys take
I know one
this.
Of them, so I'm just 50-50 on the other two. So I think that the Quebecois accent isn't true.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go with that one.
Oh, you guys are too good. Yes. Oh. I did get drunk with a bunch of young German kids, and I also did get deported from the U.S.
A bubblegum club.
What did you get deported for?
Visa renewals.
Okay. Yeah. It's not like they, like, strap you to a plane or something. It sounded more rock
like,
and roll.
I was 13. I wasn't exactly snorting lines of coke in the border offices in Detroit. I mean...
Well, wasn't that? It was sounded more renegade
PSA,
than you
Jesus,
made
it.
It
was great. I was on the news. I'm sure
you guys... Okay, I got mine. Okay.
Okay.
Why are you
doing this?
Okay, I decided to do mine. Okay, so, number one, I once stabbed myself in the testicle with barbed wire. Number two, I only have one cheek dimple, which is really hard to tell right now because I've got a beard. And the principal of my elementary school came dressed as me at the school disco.
Elementary school?
Yeah, when
so
I was in like
you were about
grade six, I was.
Grade six, about 11 years old.
Yeah, and.
About 4 foot 11, maybe.
I was about 4 foot wide at the time.
And he came dressed as you, alright.
Yeah, I think that's probably true because even though you're very creative, I can't imagine anyone making that up.
may I ask the question of what was the thing that made you think he was just as you? It was like
because he told me, he walked up to me like, I'm you, Simon. Ha 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 ha. I went, okay.
Why'd you know your principal that well?
It was elementary school. There's only like 30 kids in your class. Like, it's not. It was. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just irritated him that much. I don't know.
So, I think it's to embody his worst fear.
Yeah.
I think the first one's false. I don't think you could do that. And you didn't think
I? You don't think I stabbed like myself crazy in the testicle?
Do that though. I feel like it's pretty on purpose.
I didn't mean to stab myself in the testicle. I fell on barbed wire and stabbed myself in the testicle.
What were you doing on top of like a fence?
I lived in England, man. They're just this barbed wire Chinese climbing over. I was, I was running from a cow or to a cow. It was the country, man.
Sure, that's perfectly plausible then. Okay, maybe it's what was
the
second one again? Just quickly remind me.
I only have one cheat dimple.
I feel like you've got two.
You know what?
You've just got one of those two dimple feelings.
Yeah. You know? I'm just really looking into your beard and I see two.
When I look into your eyes, I see two dimples.
I'm making him blush. We can see it now.
So, would you qualify that you stabbed yourself in the testicle or testicles with a barbed wire?
Oh, just the one testicle.
Just the one testicle. Yeah.
You stabbed both. Is it just like
around?
Oh, yeah. That would just be terrible.
I'm going to go with the second one. So, the dimple. No dimple. Yeah. No, that's a lie. You do have two dimples.
I changed my vote to that one.
Yes. But yeah, no, it's
your
true.
Your elementary school principal really came up to you and said, I'm you, Simon.
Mr. Evans.
Look what you are.
Mr. Evans of Mickle Trafford Primary School in Britain.
Did he Velcro a beard on?
Surprisingly, at 11, I didn't have a beard yet. That was, you know, I wasn't an early bloomer or anything like that. No, fortunately not. All right, okay, that's about the end of our show. We are going to play a little more music. Coming up afterwards is the fantastic Synaptic Sandwich. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back next week with another brand new show. We've got a comic guest next week. I can't remember off the top of my head who it is, but we will have a stand-up comic in the studio to have a chat with us on the after show. And we've got lots and lots of fun stuff coming up on the next sketch show. It's episode 5. I'm trying to remember what sketches are on there. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I got the hipster sketch and a few of those.
Brilliant.
There's some good ones on there, so definitely come back.
I mean, I would refute that we have any bad episodes. They're all pretty.
Yeah.
Mainly because Sierra's in them.
Oh man. Okay, well there we go. This was the White Noise After Show. I am Simon Welton. These guys were Victoria, Connor, Sierra. We will see you next week. Thank you for joining us.
Bye.
And have a lovely Saturday evening.
Power Chord, every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Zombie lines and international sales.